Okay, now today we discuss an important equation, which is called the virial equation, which is the equation which allows one to compute the pressure in practice. So whenever we do a Monte Carlo simulation, a molecular dynamic simulation, we use this equation, the virial equation, to compute the pressure. So the starting point of the calculation is the canonical ensemble and the partition function in the canonical ensemble. In the definition of the pressure, there will be no momentum dependence, so we just integrate over the momenta, and we get a general expression, which is, for the partition function, which is the product of the partition function of an ideal gas times the configurational partition function Z divided by Vn. So once we've done that, we compute the free energy, and the free energy will be the sum of the ideal contribution plus the excess contribution, and the excess contribution is the interesting one, which contains the interactions. Once we have the free energy, the pressure can be computed using the usual formula. So we take the derivative of the free energy with respect to the volume and change sign. And then we use the decomposition of the free energy into two terms. So we get the derivative of the ideal free energy, something that we know exactly, and kT divided by the volume, plus the contribution of the excess free energy. So we have two contributions to the pressure, the ideal term, which we know, and kT divided by V, plus the excess part. So the virial equation provides you a way to compute the excess part of the pressure. So let's rewrite explicitly the partition function which contributes to excess pressure, which is Z over Vn. So is 1 over Vn integral over the momenta, over the coordinates of E2 minus beta, the potential energy. And then we have to take the derivative with respect to the volume. And we should be careful that the volume dependency is clear in the term 1 over v to the power n, but there is also a hidden dependence on the volume on the integration limits of the integral over q, because we should integrate q only in the volume v. So to take that into account, we simplify the problem and take a cubic volume. Of course, the result doesn't depend on the shape of the system, but for the computation, it's a good idea to consider a cube of linear size L. So we have a cube L in the x direction, L in the y direction, L in the z direction. And of course, the volume is L cube. So changing the volume is equivalent to changing the size of the box, changing L. And so we can replace the derivative with respect to the volume with a derivative with respect to the size L. And of course, there is a factor 1 over 3L squared, which is the change of variable. Now, if we use a cubic box, the dependence on L is quite evident because coordinates have to be integrated from 0 to L. So we have a prefactor L dependent, the volume, and then all these integrals have an extremum which depends on the size. To eliminate this dependence on the integration domain of the integrals, we change variables. And we define a new variable, a new vector variable, S equal Q over L for each particle. So we have Si equal Q over L, or if you want, Q is L times S for each particle. And of course, the coordinates Sx, Xy, and Sz for each particle go from 0 to 1. With this transformation, the prefactor 1 over to the power vn cancels, because you have to take into account that there is a contribution from the differentials, and this contribution is exactly vn, which cancels the 1 over vn. And so the L dependence is uniquely in the potential energy, which was a function of Q1, Q Q2 and so on. Now it's a function of S1L, S2L, and so on. Now we take the derivative with respect to L. This is relatively easy because there is the exponential, so we get the derivative of everything is the derivative of the exponential, so we get the exponential. Then the derivative of U with respect to each of its argument. So we have minus beta, of course, then the derivative of U with respect to the coordinate x, Q1x, so the x component of the coordinate of the first particle, times the derivative of Q1x with respect to L. Then we have the derivative of U with respect to the y coordinate, to the y component of the coordinate of the first particle, and so on. If we plug everything together, we get minus beta, the integral over the coordinates S of e to minus beta U, which is the potential, times the sum over all particles of the scalar product of Si for each particle times du over dqi. Once we have done that, we change back to the original variable, so we reintroduce the qi, and so we get a factor 1 over vn, which comes again from the measure, going from ds to dq. Each coordinate provides a factor of 1 over L, so effectively you get 1 over V to the power n. And then you have to change Si in the last term in Qi over L. You plug everything together, and L goes together the 1 over L square, which was in front of everything. Kt cancels with beta. And at the end, you get 1 minus 1 over 3v, the average value of the sum over all coordinates of du over dqi, scalar product qi. This is the factor, the quantity, which is inside the angular brackets, inside the mean value, is called the virial. Effectively, is the sum of the forces which act on each particle times qi, and this is exactly the quantity which appears in the usual virial theorem, because this quantity is equal, apart from a factor, to the average value of the kinetic energy for a bounded motion. So if you remember the virial theorem in classical mechanics, the Quillier theorem indeed makes a connection between this quantity, the sum over all particles of the forces times the coordinates, and the kinetic energy. The formula as it stands here is not convenient because, as we shall see, has a lot of cancellations inside. Indeed, here the qi is the position of particle I with respect to the origin that you have chosen in your box. So qi is a macroscopic number. So forces are multiplied by macroscopic numbers, while in the final formula that we will obtain in the next slides, you will see that the forces are only multiplied by microscopic lengths, which means in practice that in all these terms which appear here, there are lots of cancellation. All these terms are big, are macroscopic as order, but the final result is much smaller for each term. So we have to derive a different expression, and this different expression is obtained under two conditions. First condition, no external forces. Again, the system is homogeneous. And second, there are only pair interactions, in the sense that the potential energy is the sum of interactions between each pair of molecules. So the potential is assumed to have the form which is written here. So we have a pair interaction, which is V, and the pair interaction only depends on the distance between particle I and particle J, and the sum, which is written here, is the sum over all pairs of molecules. So if we want to sum over all pair of molecules, we sum over I less than j. So we sum over all values of I and j subject to the condition that I is always less than j to avoid double counting. Of course, I equal j is excluded. The particle doesn't interact with itself. And to avoid counting twice the interaction, we restrict the sum to I's which are less than the j's. So the first index is always less than the second index. At this point, we have to compute the derivative of the potential. And before computing the derivative of the potential, we compute the derivative of the distance qi minus qj, which is the usual calculation. So if we take the derivative with respect to the vector qi of the difference of qi minus qj, note that the index in the derivative is the same as the first index in the distance, we obtain the vector qij. Qij is the vector qi minus qj divided the modulus of the same vector qij. So at this point, we can compute the derivative of the potential energy, of the total potential energy. So we take the derivative of d with respect to qi of the total potential energy. Of course, there is a sum over all pairs of molecules, but we first select only the terms which contain qi. So the first step we do, we disregard all terms which contain interactions in which particle I is not present. And so we get the derivative with respect to qi of the sum over all particles that interact with particle I. So they are j, j goes from 1 to n, and of course j is different from I, of v of the modulus of qij. So this is the first formula in which we have disregarded all interactions that do not involve particle I. And of course, particle I interacts with all the others, so we get a sum over j, which goes from 1 to n, and which only exclude j equal to I. So we get, now we use the expression for the derivative of v, and so we get the expression which is in the end, that the derivative with respect of qi of the potential energy is the sum over all j, j different from y, of the derivative of v with respect to the modulus of qij multiplied by qij divided by its modulus again. Here, this is just derivative, we just used the fact that v only depends on the modulus, of qij. And we've used the previous expression, which gives you the derivative of the modulus of qij with respect to the vector qi. We can put everything together, summing over I, and we get the expression which is in the last line of page 3, which tells you that the virial, the minus the virial indeed, here it's written minus the virial, is the sum over I to n, the sum over j from 1 to n in which we exclude I, of dv over dqij, qij divided by its modulus, scalar product qi. This expression is still not convenient, and it can be simplified. And to understand how it can be simplified, we just work with three particles, and we write the sum, which is in the last line of page 3, explicitly. So we first do the summation over I, and then for each I, we sum over the values of j, which are different from I. We put n equal 3. We consider three particles. So at the top of page 4, there are all terms. The first line corresponds to I equal 1, and there are two possible values of j equal 2 and j equal 3. The second line corresponds to I equal 2, but now J takes the values 1 and 3 only. And the third line corresponds to I equal 3, and J takes the values 1 and 2. In these expressions, we always use, of course, that the modulus of Qij is equal to the modulus of Qji. Of course, this is not true for the vector. Qij is Qi minus Qj, which, of course, is minus Qji as a vector. The modulus, of course, is the same. Now let's look at the terms which are proportional to the derivative of V with respect to Q1, 2. There are two terms in the first and second line, the first term of the first line and the first term of the second line. We write them together and we rewrite Q1, 2 as Q1 minus Q2, Q21 as Q2 minus Q1. And then we have a term in the square bracket that, if you are careful enough, you will easily recognize that it is Q1 squared plus Q2 squared minus 2Q1 dot Q2, which is nothing but the squared of Q1 minus Q2. So you get the expression that you get the derivative 1 over the modulus of Q1, 2 multiplied by the modulus of Q1, 2 squared. And so we get a simplification, and that term is Q12 dV over dQ12. You can work out the other terms, the one proportional to the derivative with respect to Q13 and to the derivative of with respect to Q23 in exactly the same way. And you get the expression which is in at the bottom of the page, which can be generalized easily to n particles. And so you get the sum over all pairs of the modulus of Qij with respect to the derivative of Qij. So you see that in this rewriting, we have replaced Qi, which is a macroscopic number, with Qij. And Qij is a microscopic number for a very simple reason, that we have the force between the particle. So the term is Qij times the force Qij. If the two particles are very far away, there is no force. The force is zero, they don't interact, this term vanishes. Instead, if the two particles are close, so that